Back in 2016, during the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, we took a tour of the neighborhoods hit hard by the 2008 housing collapse. Cleveland is beautiful, but there were still swaths of abandoned, crumbling homes. Well, recently we went back to see what's changed. The answer, not much. We'll have pictures at hereandnow.org, but come with us as we visit again, starting at Cleveland's Greater Collinwood Development Corporation, where we met up with the city's longest-serving city councilor, Michael Palencik, who represents East Cleveland's 8th Ward and is trying to get some of the worst blight taken down. Okay, we've stepped outside the office here.
For the Greater Collinwood Development Corporation.
Yep.
So you can see right directly across the street, this was an old dairy that had been taken down because it was abandoned. Same thing, right over there was a single family home on that lot. So as we're out and about, you'll see there's been a great deal of demolition. Unfortunately, it's not enough. I have approximately just around 300 structures that need to come down.
Isn't that one of the debates, though? There are some people who don't want homes taken down. They want them rehabbed, but the cost is phenomenal.
Well, it goes back to that old saying, you can fix anything and repair anything, but the question is, if homes are selling in the $40,000 to $50,000 price range on a given street, and the rehab that structure is $80,000, then it doesn't make any economic sense.
But can you get people to build if it's a lot?
Since the meltdown 2007-2008, I haven't had a new house built in our community.
Not one new house. But who would build on a block with zombies? We'll explain. Michael says no one will take responsibility. And in time, the houses around the blighted buildings also plummet in value.
They do. We have a situation in Ohio where the banking industry has had a great deal of influence and power. So when they foreclose on an individual, they do not have to put the property in their name. They evict the resident. The house sits there empty, but it's not in the name of the bank.
The bank's not responsible.
The bank is not responsible for maintenance. So that's why the city of Cleveland has to spend over $2 million a year cutting grass.
You know, people might say, well, go get those people who are evicted. Jail them. Fine them.
All those people know is that they're out of their home. And many of them find a rude awakening because all of a sudden, now you start prosecution, and who comes up? Them.
They may think that foreclosure means it's not yours anymore.
That's exactly. And now they're being told, somehow you're responsible to cut the grass and maintain it. Well, wait a minute. I haven't lived there for 3 years. What are you talking about?
Why are these foreclosures happening? Is it because people got loans that they shouldn't have? This is, you know, the old story.
There's no doubt predatory lending. When we walk right to the corner here, you're going to see newer homes that were built by our development corporation here. One of those homes sold, I think it was for $242,000. It went into foreclosure. What did the person put down on the home? $42.13.
And they were given a loan.
They were given a loan.
So, people got loans that shouldn't have. Many have been evicted. But Councilman Palencik says current homeowners who want to stay but need to fix up their homes can't because they can't get loans. It's like the illegal practice of redlining.
I believe it's redlining by community, by zip code. Does racial consideration still factor in some cases? Without a doubt. But if you look at it in general, my ward is racially and ethnically diverse. It's predominantly African-American. But I could show you Caucasian families will tell you the same thing. They can't get a loan. They can't improve their property.
So we start a drive through Councilman Palencik's district. I ask him why people abandon now, 10 years after the housing collapse.
The economy, contrary to what some people think, is still very, very rough in neighborhoods like this. This community on the northeast side of the city of Cleveland lost, it all depends who you talk to, between 20 and 25,000 manufacturing jobs. We have over 4,000 abandoned structures in the city right now. And Cleveland is under 400,000 in population.
But why is it happening? Is it people who can't make their mortgage payments?
They can't make their mortgage payments, or they have fallen so far behind on their taxes, they don't put another dime into the property. And then at some point, they just leave it. So the county has done a terrible job of collecting taxes. We have the worst collection record in the state, Cuyahoga County. And what happens is where we talk about these homes sitting vacant for years. That's a vacant house right there. So you had predatory lending. Then you had absentee landlords who virtually milked the property. And then the county, where we could have saved these structures, had there been a reasonable foreclosure process, these properties went on for years and years. Here's another abandoned one sitting right here.
You say there's not a reasonable foreclosure process.
The county collects taxes, property taxes. So the county doesn't collect a property tax. Had they collected or had they foreclosed within a reasonable period of time, you wouldn't have houses sitting 6, 7, 8, 9 years vacant. So those houses would have gone in for a sheriff's sale and would have been sold and put back into productive use. So it's been a vicious cycle in this city and in this county.
It is amazing. We see freestanding homes, attached three-deckers, whole apartment buildings.
So that's abandoned, that's abandoned, that house is abandoned. The one thing that has worked is the creation of the Cuyahoga County Land Bank. If it wasn't for the land bank, God only knows where we'd be at. This is another abandoned one right here.
And what does that do?
The Cuyahoga County Land Bank is the clearinghouse. They take abandoned structures once they go through the foreclosure process and or vacant land. And then they can sell it off for private development. But the land bank is only as successful as the amount of properties that come to them. When the county fails to collect property taxes, it starts a chain reaction, a domino effect, a neighborhood disinvestment, neighborhood despair. Now, do I want to see people's homes get foreclosed on? No, I don't. But at the end of the day, look at the end result. It's a system that broke down, that failed, and as a result, those people who live here, who are attempting to play by the rules, they wound up getting screwed because the value of their homes has diminished substantially. The state of Ohio has to have laws in effect that if you foreclose on somebody, you put the house in your name. Because if not, that creates what we call the zombie mortgage.
The zombie mortgage, when homeowners believe they no longer hold the title to their property because they've been evicted. And lenders, banks, wash their hands of the home, take a loss, yes, but don't have to do upkeep or pay taxes, because they know the homeowner does still hold the deed. As we just heard, many states require the bank name on the deed. Ohio does not. So the mortgages are, well, zombies. We drive by a small, well-maintained home next to an overgrown empty lot to find the Morrises. Mrs. Morris tending the lawn, her husband Archie beside her.
Hi, sir. Hi. We're doing a story on all the amount of homes that have been abandoned.
Yes.
And we just wondered, you're taking such good care of this home. I wondered if you had any thoughts about that.
Yeah, my wife, we take
care
of it.
Well, what's it like to live with so many homes boarded up, falling apart?
It's terrible. It's terrible. They need to, because people's getting killed in them houses. Raped and beat up and all kind of dope fiends, crackheads. They need to make a change. There's got to be a change somewhere.
Well, I see you and your wife here. She's carefully seeding your lawn. You've got beautiful picket fence and all these decorations.
Yeah, we try to keep it together, but, you know, people ain't gonna let it stay. They throw trash all in your yard because your yard clean.
We can see where you mow up to this lot. Was there a house there that was taken down?
Yes, there was a house over there, and it's been years. Right, it's been demolished, so it's been an empty lot.
Well, I'm sure, would you rather have the zombie houses taken down? Because then you're going to have empty lots? I mean, which is better?
Well, if they take them down, what they can do is board it all the way around, fence it. Somebody might want to put a store there or anything. Yeah. But they got to keep that up.
Archie Morris tells us he's considered leaving but wouldn't be able to sell. No one is buying. So for now, they'll stand out as a beacon of hope in a desperate neighborhood. As we leave, we pause at a demolition site, tractors and backhoes tearing down a small, abandoned apartment building.
Nobody is more frustrated than I am about dealing with this stuff, because I see, historically, as a senior member of City Council, I see what this has done to my community. Every one of these empty lots, that's a property that isn't paying taxes to support our schools. This is pure insanity here. But it's man-made. See, again, this we weren't hit by Hurricane Katrina or by Hurricane Michael or whatever. This was a man-made natural disaster that came through the city of Cleveland and other areas. Now, why did other areas survive much better? because of the state laws they had on the books, especially as it pertains to the zombie mortgages. And again, the taxpayers have paid the ultimate price for this.
Our visit to Cleveland City Councilor Michael Polensek's 8th Ward, which he's represented since 1978, he's convinced with new banking regulations and quicker action on tax delinquency, this can be fixed. But meanwhile, remember Archie Morris? It's obvious. He doesn't want to disappear along with his zombie neighborhood. He very much wanted you to hear his music. So, from the sidewalk, surrounded by zombie homes, here's a taste.
And we're coming to the music. That's the beginning.
Resident and musician Archie Morris with his boombox on the streets of East Cleveland. For pictures of the zombie houses that surround him, go to hearandnow.org.
That's a nice guitar. Mm-hmm. You from here originally?
Mm-hmm. Sound like Santana.
Yes, you do.
Right. And then I come in.